Well, I want to welcome you this evening as we join together to take a look at God's Word. As I mentioned this morning, because of the pandemic that is not only sweeping the world but has now entered our area, we're going to take the admonition, the encouragement we've had from officials to do everything we can to help bring an end to this by not meeting together for services here in our building. Nevertheless, because of the technology that we now possess, we can still meet together. It may be in a number of living rooms or wherever you may be for this particular service, but we will be able to gather together. And the plan is to meet at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, again at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and then to have a midweek challenge from God's Word on Wednesday nights. And we may add some other things as we go along. Hopefully this will only be for a very short time. But whatever the duration is, we want to continue to try to meet together, if not in body, by spirit, and just do all that we can to be a blessing to one another. And my encouragement to you is to pray for one another. And I'm going to bring some requests to you in just a moment. And we'll take a moment of prayer before we get into the Word of God. Of course, there's not a host of people here tonight. There are no instrumentalists. There's not a congregation to sing. There's not a choir to sing. There's no one here to do special music per se. So while we may not have the service that we would desire to have, we have the best, and that is God's Word, and we'll trust that we will be able to benefit from that tonight. I've been asked a couple times by folks to make mention of the need to continue to give. And while I really don't care to talk about giving or money, I guess it's necessary right now. I had someone last week ask me, how can I continue to give, though I'm not there? You could simply mail your check in, whatever it may be. We have just, over the last few years, talked as a group of leaders about online giving, and we are now established on our website to be able to receive online giving. So on the website, you will see that opportunity there, and it is detailed enough to where you can designate in different categories, whether it's tithe or whether it is faith promise or building fund, giving to the teen ministry, just a number of different categories there. So when you go online, just take a look at the categories. So if you are currently giving to our building fund, you can designate that, your tithes and faith promise as well. And then you can give in several different ways. One of those ways is just direct through your bank account. You can give by credit card or a debit card, Apple Pay, Android Pay, or just several other means to pay. So you can take a look at that on our website for those of you who are members of our church. Now, in a moment, we're going to pray together, and I trust you will, that you'll take time as I lead in prayer to pray for these people. Did not really take time this morning to mention a bunch of names, but I do want to recognize these folks tonight. I'll just mention first names tonight. Mary Ann did come home from the hospital yesterday, and we're very grateful for that and glad that she's able to be back with her family. Mary Ann still needs much prayer, so continue to pray for Mary Ann, and of course pray for Don as he's in his battle with cancer. And then Jamie was supposed to have had surgery at the Cleveland Clinic this week, and that was postponed, as many surgeries have been postponed. If you would, continue to pray for Jamie, because she will need to have that surgery at some point. So just pray that God will give timing in that. And then I got a call today from Brother Harold. He and Dottie have been very sick over the last few weeks. It even required an emergency room visit last weekend. But they are both doing much, much better. And he just called to let me know that they're doing better and they have no needs at this time, and they're doing well. And then if you remember Katie is due on Tuesday. So she is also doing well, but just pray that when that moment does come for her to deliver her little girl, that things will go well. And of course, we want to pray for one another as all of us, you know, go through this time of testing with the coronavirus, that God would give safety to our folks, and most of all, that we would take opportunity to witness to people, take the opportunity that God is going to present to us, and He certainly will. So at this moment, before we get into our Bible study tonight, I want you to just pray along with me as we pray for these people. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to be able, as a group of Your children, even though we're not together physically, we are together, Lord, not only in spirit, but by means of technology, and that's an amazing thing. We're thankful that You've given us this means to be able to do what we're doing here tonight. I do come before You and thank You for the people of Grace Baptist Church and ask, Lord, that You would keep them encouraged. You know every single need of our people. You know those who have very poor health and would be more susceptible to this coronavirus. You know those who will suffer because of not having regular employment right now. You know, Father, those who may fear. All of the needs, I pray, God, we would turn over to You and we would trust You during this time. You tell us to trust in You with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. So, God, help us to be obedient to Your word. And as we've brought these people out to You by name, we just ask that You would intervene. Since You are the great physician, You tell us that You are the God that healeth us, that we would look to You. I know You have a perfect will for all of these people. But we just present to You Mary Ann, and we present to You Don tonight as he battles cancer. We present to You Jamie, who is in need of that surgery. I present to You Katie as she is getting ready to give birth. Lord, for Harold and Dottie as they're in a recovery state right now, and for just many others, that You would minister in a very special way to them. We've had many people on our prayer list for months, some for years, that have very special needs that are part of our church family, and Lord, You know them all by name, and I ask You to meet those needs. And Lord, as we begin to look into Your word tonight, I ask that You be pleased and let it bless the people, and Lord, be a blessing to You as well, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned to you this morning that the last few days has been a struggle in the sense of wanting to do what is right, not give in to fear, and yet at the same time, not to tempt God. Somebody said to me, gave me an example of the fact that the Israelites tempted God, and it grieved God and angered God. We hear some who are Christians who tempt God, if you would. Someone gave the example of people who handle snakes. You know, they purposely will reach in and grab a venomous snake and handle it to prove, you know, that if they're bit, you know, that God will spare their lives. And we've heard of people who do those things. And I'm not condemning those people, but simply using it as an example. We've heard at times where people who do such things end up losing their lives, tempting God. And so as I have thought about these things and prayed about these things, both of those thoughts, you know, is there a caving into fear? Is there an attitude of tempting God? And I've sought the Lord in it, not only in prayer, but as I sat down yesterday and I was just spending time in my Bible, just my normal reading between myself and the Lord, there's some things that God brought to light. I asked Him to do those things, and I should not be surprised that He did those things. I want to share some of those things with you tonight. Now, it is not my intention every time that I come to speak to address the issue of the coronavirus. But if I had a title tonight, it would be this: Scripture in the Light of the Coronavirus. That sounds like a very, very strange title, because quite frankly, it is. But that's what I'm going to speak about tonight: Scripture in the Light of the Coronavirus. And I'm going to start in Romans chapter 12, in verses that are extremely familiar to most Christians, especially those of you who love His Word and spend time in His Word, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And so my hope would be that as you view this or listen to this, that you would follow along in your Bibles. Always be in the habit of having your Bible with you, whether it's a leafed Bible or it's on your phone follow along in the scriptures. And I want you to look here at chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I began to read these words yesterday, it is as though the Holy Spirit just put it in light of what we're going through right now in our society. The first three words of this verse, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, I beseech you, I am imploring you, I am pleading with you to do the following thing. And as a pastor to you, and I know we may have some that are listening along with us that I don't have the privilege of pastoring, but especially for our church family, like the Apostle Paul, I want to beseech you, I want to implore you, plead with you to do these following things. He says, I want to beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. I want you to stop and think of how merciful God is to you and me. The word mercy carries the thought of God pitying us. We may not always deserve what He does for us, but God does a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. And you'll notice in your Bible that word is in the plural form, the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Listen, God's mercies are abundant to us. It made me think about a very special passage in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Most of you know these verses, and some of you know it by heart. And it says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Now I want you to stop and think about that. It is of the Lord's mercies. He didn't say the Lord's mercy, but again in the plural form, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Now listen, we have a fear right now. Or maybe it'd be more proper to say we have a great concern. And as I preached last Sunday, it is wrong to fear because fear makes us panic and make foolish decisions. But God certainly wants us to be concerned so that we make prudent decisions. Remember the scripture, Proverbs 22 and verse 3, and again, Proverbs 27 and verse 12, and there it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. God wants us to be prudent. He doesn't want us to ignore what's going on in this time of this pandemic. But have you ever stopped to think about the mercies of God? And by that, I mean this. Every day we get up, God's mercies are renewed. I did not realize, and I'm not a medical person, I am not a scientist, so there are many things that I am ignorant of, and quite honestly, this may sound strange to some, I did not realize that there are many coronaviruses. People get colds all the time. People get different forms of flu. And of course, over the years, our society has built up immunities to some of these things, and most people are able to fend them off with sometimes no medication, and sometimes with the right medication, can overcome those things quickly. You realize how God is merciful to us? It's renewed every morning. Thousands of people have colds. Thousands of people get the flu. Thousands of people battle different types of viruses, and we never think a thing about it. God's mercies, they're new every morning because God is a faithful God. Paul said, I want you to do what I'm about to ask you to do based on the fact that your faithful God constantly, constantly pours His mercies upon you. Now listen, he said, this is my request. This is what I'm beseeching you to do, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, You notice the word in that phrase in verse 1 is bodies, plural. He's speaking to the church. And as we hear from the teachings of Paul to the church at Corinth, he talks about a body of believers being made up of many members. Now, within a church, there are many individuals who make up the whole. Paul says, this is what I'm about to request of all the church family. All the church family. That the church family presents their bodies as a living sacrifice. Now notice, while the word bodies is in the plural form, the word sacrifice is in the singular form. We corporately, as members of this local body of believers, are encouraged to come together to be a living sacrifice. All of us present our bodies to give a singular sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. What is that sacrifice? Well, we know we're to give Him praise. And while we may not be together now or for several weeks, we can still, in our own individual dwellings, offer the sacrifice of praise. We now have means to give the sacrifice of finance. Just an amazing thing that you can just swipe a card on an internet site and give. That's an amazing thing. We can do those things. What about the sacrifice of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ? I was encouraged today to hear some wonderful testimonies about open doors that God has given some of our people to witness. One man said, I've sought opportunity, a door to witness to an individual, and because of this person's great fear of this virus, that person was open, and it just opened a door wide to give the gospel to that person. I've heard that not only this morning, but this past Wednesday night. God says, I want you as a body of believers to you individually come together to give this living sacrifice so that we can please God. Look, God is going to give you opportunities to truly be a living sacrifice for Him in these days. Now, he uses the term a living sacrifice. When I think about sacrifice, I often associate that word with death. Jesus Christ became a sacrifice, and we automatically think about Calvary and how He gave His life, shed His blood on Calvary. I think about the Old Testament sacrifices, and our minds are driven to a lamb or a goat or a bullock or a dove. And we think about how those animals were required to have their blood shed, their lives taken. But you notice here, he speaks about us being a sacrifice, giving ourselves. Right now, with this coronavirus and the fear that it has brought upon our society, it's extremely easy to think of me. Self-preservation, that's the number one thing in many people's minds. I'm going to go board myself up in some secure location and not come out for weeks at a time. I'm not going to have contact with anybody. I'm going to do everything I can to preserve my own life. And I guess that's just human nature. It's true for me. It may be true for you. And there's going to be a tendency in you. There's going to be a tendency in me for self-preservation. You know, don't let this COVID-19 virus get me. I don't want it to get me down. But if we develop that kind of mentality, then we're going to miss out on the opportunities to be a living sacrifice, to minister to other people. God says, I'm calling on you, the members of the church, not only the church at Rome, but the church here at Grace Baptist in Bridgeport. I'm calling on you to present your bodies, to be a living sacrifice, to get a work done for me. And notice he says, a living sacrifice. The reality is, for most believers, the thought of martyrdom will never be an issue for them. Most believers are not called upon by the Lord Jesus to make that ultimate sacrifice. But he does say all of us can be a living sacrifice. The coronavirus won't take most people's lives. Now, we do know we have had reports of believers losing their lives because of this virus. We have reports of ministers and missionaries getting the coronavirus. Listen, it may affect us, but most people will not die from it. God may not be requiring you to be a sacrifice in which you have to be martyred for his sake, but he does want you to be a living sacrifice. And you notice he says, as you go on in verse 2, that this is your reasonable service. Or in verse 1 rather, the last phrase, this is your reasonable service. In other words, this is what all of us should do. This is what Pastor Vaughn should do. This is what our deacons and our trustees should do. This is what our Sunday school staff should do. This is what the newest member of our church ought to be doing. This is our reasonable service. God is not asking us to do anything that is out of reason. We need to be seeking those opportunities to be a living sacrifice for him, to minister to others during this time. Not just ministering and seeking opportunities to win lost people, but to reaching out to one another. There are going to be people who need you. And you might be the one that can minister to a brother or sister's need during this time. Seek those opportunities. And then when you get into verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world. Right now, the mentality of the world sometimes is dominated by fear. We don't need to conform to that. We don't need to give into that mentality. We need not to fear. Instead, he said, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of getting caught up in what the world is saying and what the world is sensing and what the world is struggling with, he said, I want you to be transformed from that. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. And your mind is renewed by one source, and that comes by the Word of God. It doesn't come from CNN, doesn't come from MSNBC or CBS or ABC or Fox News. It doesn't come from the commentaries, doesn't come from newspapers. That transforming of our minds, especially in the day that we live in, comes through going to God's Word. And in God's Word, He renews us. Think about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants to renew your strength as He renews your mind through this book. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Daily, 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 go to God's Word. Get renewed in God's Word. The folks here in our church have often heard me speak about that time with our family where we were staring death in the face. That death looked like it may come and knock at our door. And during that time, I found solace in the Bible. God drove me to Psalm 91, and I memorized that psalm. And daily, I would go over that in my heart. And God sustained me. Now listen, I realize God has a perfect will. And there's a day appointed unto men once to die. And it's not a magic potion, as I have said at other times. And yet, we can go to God's Word and find solace in God's Word and find confidence in God's Word and realize that God does heal and God does spare and God does preserve life. We can go to God's Word so that we don't have to be like the world in fear. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that comes through the Word of God. Now notice, at the end of verse 2, he says this, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And my thought with this is simply, God has a perfect will during the coronavirus for you. God has a perfect will for you during this time of the coronavirus. I don't know exactly how that will play out, but you need to be in God's Word. You need to be seeking Him. You need to be asking Him to help you understand what that perfect will is that He wants you to accomplish during this time. Now, yesterday, as I read into the 13th chapter, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about something else, and I want to share this with you as well. In Romans chapter 13, I want you to notice verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." And then I want you to notice chapter 4 and the first part of that verse. "For he," speaking about those higher powers, "is the minister of God to thee for good." And then notice verse 5. "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." And then verse 7. "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom." Now listen to this. "Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." We understand as citizens of our country, we are required to pay taxes. And we as believers understand Jesus, just as Jesus paid taxes, that we should pay tribute as well. But he said we're also to give an attitude of fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. We need to have the right perspective toward those that God has placed in authority. When it speaks about higher powers, it's speaking about those who have authority over our life. It could be a police officer. It could be a teacher in a school. But it speaks normally of governments. And here he says that we are to be subject, we're to be obedient to the higher powers. And he says those powers are of God. Now what's interesting, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, they were at the seat of the power of the Roman Empire. And that government was a corrupt government. Now, I know the mindset that sometimes I have and that many of us have toward our own government. We're suspicious of it. We're suspicious of our leaders. And I'll be honest, I think justifiably so. They have proven themselves at times to be unreliable, to be untruthful, and they've been caught often here in these last several years in very bold lies, trying to deceive the American public. So it's very difficult sometimes to believe what is coming out of our leader's mouth. I don't care if you're an independent or a Republican or a Democrat. I don't care if we're talking about that which goes on in Washington or in Charleston or whatever city you happen to live in. It's difficult times to want to heed what our leaders say because we're suspicious of them because of their actions. And yet Paul admonished the church at Rome to obey the authority, the government of Rome. And they were a corrupt government. In fact, this government would take Paul's life. They would eventually put Paul to death because of his boldness for Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul who taught this. The Apostle Peter also taught the same. In his epistle, the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, listen to these words. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man." He didn't say you should submit to the ones that you like or understand or agree with. He said you are to submit to every ordinance of man. Now listen to this. "For the Lord's sake." This isn't for President Trump's sake. It's not for Governor Justice's sake. It's not for Mayor Lang's sake. It is for the Lord's sake. That when we submit ourselves and obey the ordinances, the laws that our land has given to us, that we are doing it and should do it for the Lord's sake. He says, whether it be to the king as supreme, and of course the equivalent to a king in our country would be the president, or unto governors like Governor Justice, as unto them that are sent by him. God says, I'm the one who has sent Donald Trump. I'm the one who has sent Jim Justice. I'm the one who has sent Andy Lang. I'm the one who has sent these leaders into your lives. And I've sent them for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And God calls upon us to give obedience to these higher powers that he's placed in our life. And both the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter would die at the hand of those very powers that they said we are to obey. In 1 Peter 2:15, Peter said this, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Understand this. God says, you want to do my will? Then my will is that you obey those governments. Now, there are times where we ought to obey God rather than men. This same man, Peter, stood in front of the religious leaders who said, you're not to preach in his name anymore. And Peter boldly proclaimed, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then he was willing, without defiance, he was willing to suffer for not following that edict, because that edict came against the direct command of God to be a witness. I just point out to you that our government is not asking us to deny our God. Our government is not asking us to cease to worship. Our government is not asking us to quit witnessing to others. Our government is simply saying to every corporation and small business, to every school, to every athletic team, to all in our society, please don't come together simply because we're trying to stave off what could potentially cost millions and millions of lives. And for the sake of that, we're asking you not to come together in a building together. They're not asking us not to worship. They're not asking us to deny our God. And I believe we are doing right in obeying those higher powers that are over us. We're right to obey the president. We're right to heed what Governor Justice has said. And then the final thing I want to point out, chapter 14, and I want you to look with me there in verse 1 of Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I just want you to notice, and we could continue to read here, but for time's sake, I just want to, instead of dissecting this passage, I just want to give you a general thought here. I think there's a plain truth to see throughout this chapter of Romans chapter 14. And that plain truth is simply this, that not all brethren see a particular issue or approach a particular matter in the same way, or see things the same way. And we're going to disagree at times on certain points as we walk with Christ. When that happens, there's a simple truth here. And that truth, Paul says, is don't judge. Don't judge another man's servant. And listen, that other man is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not to judge Jesus Christ's servants. Now, he's not talking to me as a pastor about just simply judging other pastors. That refers to any believer. And as we, as a church body, struggle over some of these things that have happened to us and what the right approach is, it's very easy to get judgmental. I heard about a man who, I guess, on the internet or Facebook had a site where he was condemning people who are gathering together to worship, saying that they are tempting God and defying the government. And, you know, that man stood in judgment. And that's wrong. At the same time, there are others who are saying that we're wrong for not meeting together in a building at this time, that we're not showing faith. Listen, the arguments are there on both sides. I'm not here to debate and argue either point. The reality is, as I read this yesterday, just a simple truth. Listen, we don't need to be judging one another. We may think that my opinion, my view is totally correct, and someone else may think their standpoint is totally correct. Well, we may find out one day the judgment seat of Christ, but for the time, he says, don't judge one another. In fact, as we close here tonight, I want you to look down at verse 10 of chapter 14 of Romans. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So while there may be this temptation to find some others who may side with your view and be critical of other believers, can we just leave that go? The decisions made by myself and other pastors may be popular with some and unpopular with others, but let's allow judgment to take place at the judgment seat, and right now just do all we can to be a living sacrifice, to seek opportunities through this strange time to minister to other believers and to be a lighthouse to those who are lost. And look forward to the day where this issue is past us and we can be back together. And I'll add one other thing. You know, I talk about brokenness, and I pray for brokenness so that revival can come. You know what? The reality is, maybe God is beginning to work to break us as believers, to get us to the point where there's total surrender so we can know the revival that many of us have sought for years. Can I ask you to just go before God and say, God, if this is what you're trying to do, would you help us to learn it and bring us to that point? I trust tonight that the things that have been said have been helpful to you. I trust that these things that have been said will help stir your heart toward being a living sacrifice for Him. And so I want you just to take opportunity to think and to pray right now. And maybe there is someone watching tonight or listening, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know what? There are fears that are legitimate. One of the fears that God tells us that is legitimate is to fear Him that has the power to not only destroy the body, but to cast the soul into hell. He has that power. And if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can simply turn to Him right now. Ask His forgiveness. Jesus Christ died for you. He shed His blood, and the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. And if you, by simple faith, will turn from your sin and give them to the Lord Jesus and allow Him to forgive you, and by faith trust Him to be your Savior, He will do that if you call upon Him now. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, we're told in the book of John, chapter 1. Why don't you do that right now? As we close here tonight, as I said, we don't have a choir. We don't have special music tonight. But I thought it might be appropriate, and I thought it would honor God if we would just sing this chorus together. You may not have hymnal in front of you, but I think you know this simple chorus. And if you would like there in your homes just to sing along, I encourage you to do that. You know the chorus, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me.
I trust the Lord gives you a great week. I look forward to seeing you again as we meet together on Wednesday night. Good night.